comments on the book of Colossians, chapter 1, instruction of highest value. The manifestation of real goodness is the bearing of fruit in good works. This bears the endorsement of heaven. Read the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Colossians. The instruction it contains is of the highest value. The religion of Christ makes all who possess it truly benevolent. It countenances no littleness, no mean transactions. True Christians have a nobility which allows none of the cheap, covetous actions that are a disgrace to the doer of them. Letter 58, 1900. What our churches should be. The first and second chapters of Colossians have been presented to me as an expression of what our churches in every part of the world should be. Letter 161, 1903. God's will may be known. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Colossians 1, 9-11. How complete this prayer is. There is no limit to the blessings that it is our privilege to receive. We may be filled with the knowledge of His will. The Holy Ghost would never have inspired Paul to offer this prayer in behalf of his brethren if it had not been possible for them to receive an answer from God in accordance with the request. Since this is so, we know that God's will is manifested to His people as they need a clearer understanding of His will. Letter 179, 1902. Verse 15, the perfect photograph of God. We have only one perfect photograph of God, and this is Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 8. Nature exalted above nature's God. No man can truly excel in knowledge and influence unless he is connected with the God of wisdom and power. All the philosophies of human nature have led to confusion and shame when God has not been recognized as all in all. The most profound intellects of the world, when not enlightened by God's word, become bewildered and lost while trying to investigate the matters of science and revelation. The Creator and His works are beyond finite comprehension, and men conclude that because they cannot explain the works and ways of God from natural causes, the Bible history is not reliable. Many are so intent upon excluding God from the exercises of sovereign will and power in the established order of the universe that they demean man, the noblest of his creatures. The theories and speculations of philosophy would make us believe that man has come by slow degrees, not merely from a savage state, but from the very lowest form of the brute creation. They destroy man's dignity because they will not admit God's miraculous power. God has illuminated human intellects and poured a flood of light on the world through discoveries in art and science. But those who view these from a merely human standpoint will most assuredly come to wrong conclusions. The thorns of error, skepticism, and infidelity are disguised by being covered with the garments of philosophy and science. Satan has devised this ingenious manner of winning souls away from the living God, away from the truth and religion. He exalts nature above nature's God. Manuscript 4, 1882. Beware of human sophistries. The natural stubbornness of the human heart resists the light of truth. Its natural pride of opinion leads to independence of judgment and a clinging to human ideas and philosophy. There is with some a constant danger of becoming unsettled in the faith by the desire for originality. They wish to find some new and strange truth to present, to have a new message to bring to the people. But such a desire is a snare of the enemy to captivate the mind and lead away from the truth. In our experience, we shall see one and another start up with new theories in regard to what is truth, and irrespective of what the influence of the advocacy of such theories may be on the mind of the hearers, they will launch out into the work of advocating their ideas, even though these teachings may be in opposition to the belief that has called out Seventh-day Adventists from the world and made them what they are. The Lord would have those who understand the reasons for their faith rest in their belief of that which they have been convinced is truth, and be not turned from the faith by the presentation of human sophistries. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Review and Herald, August 19, 1909. Falsehood mingled with truth. As we near the end of time, falsehood will be so mingled with truth that only those who have the guidance of the Holy Spirit will be able to distinguish truth from error. We need to make every effort to keep the way of the Lord. We must in no case turn from His guidance to put our trust in man. The Lord's angels are appointed to keep strict watch over those who put their faith in the Lord, and these angels are to be our special help in every time of need. Every day we are to come to the Lord with full assurance of faith and to look to Him for wisdom. Those who are guided by the word of the Lord will discern with certainty between falsehood and truth, between sin and righteousness. Manuscript 43, 1907, verse 9, Sufferings of Deity. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Men need to understand that Deity suffered and sank under the agonies of Calvary. Yet Jesus Christ, whom God gave for the ransom of the world, purchased the church with His own blood. The majesty of heaven was made to suffer at the hands of religious zealots who claimed to be the most enlightened people upon the face of the earth. Manuscript 153, 1898. A perfect specimen of sinless humanity. In Christ is gathered all the glory of the Father. In Him is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of His person. The glory of the attributes of God are expressed in His character. The gospel is glorious because it is made up of His righteousness. It is Christ unfolded, and Christ is the gospel embodied. Every page of the New Testament Scripture shines with His light. Every text is a diamond touched and irradiated by the divine rays. We are not to praise the gospel, but praise Christ. We are not to worship the gospel, but the Lord of gospel. Christ is a perfect representation of God on the one hand, and a perfect specimen of sinless humanity on the other hand. Thus He has combined divinity and humanity. Manuscript 44, 1898, verses 9 and 12. 10. Dwelling upon Christ's character. In Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is why, although He was tempted in all points like as we are, He stood before the world from His first entrance into it, untainted by corruption, though surrounded by it. Are we not also to become partakers of that fullness? And is it not thus, and thus only, that we can overcome as He overcame? We lose much by not dwelling constantly upon the character of Christ. Manuscript 16, 1890. Verse 10, the robe of Christ's righteousness. Through His sacrifice, human beings may reach the high ideal set before them and hear at last the words, "Ye are complete in Him, not having your own righteousness, but the righteousness that He wrought out for you." Your imperfection is no longer seen, for you are clothed with the robe of Christ's perfection. Manuscript 125, 1902, chapter 3, verse 3. Rising above the fog of doubt. The soul that loves God rises above the fog of doubt. He gains a bright, broad, deep living experience and becomes meek and Christ-like. His soul is committed to God, hid with Christ in God. He will be able to stand the test of neglect, of abuse, and contempt, because his Savior has suffered all this. He will not become fretful and discouraged when difficulties press him, because Jesus did not fail or become discouraged. Every true Christian will be strong not in the strength and merit of his good works, but in the righteousness of Christ, which through faith is imputed unto him. It is a great thing to be meek and lowly in heart, to be pure and undefiled, as was the Prince of Heaven when he walked among men. Review and Herald, December 3, 1889. Shielded from the darts of the enemy. When self is hid in Jesus, we are shielded from the darts of the enemy. Chapter 4, verse 6. Powers of speech sanctified. As you arose from the watery grave at the time of your baptism, you professed to be dead and declared that your life was changed, hid with Christ in God. You claimed to be dead to sin and cleansed from your hereditary and cultivated traits of evil. In going forward in the rite of baptism, you pledged yourself before God to remain dead to sin. Your mouth was to remain a sanctified mouth, your tongue a converted tongue. You were to speak of God's goodness and to praise His holy name. Thus you were to be a great help and blessing to the church. Manuscript 95, 1906.